Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We take a stack of sources and distill them into the knowledge you need, and today we are setting off on one of the oldest human quests there is, the pilgrimage.
Such a huge topic.
It is, and we're looking beyond the usual definitions. We're really asking, why do humans feel this compulsion to make long, often really difficult journeys to places of power?
And that is a huge question.
Yeah.
We're tackling it through the lens of Ian Reeder, who is a leading scholar whose work, it fundamentally changes how we understand these journeys.
Right.
You might think of pilgrimage as this purely religious, maybe kind of ancient thing. But what Reeder's sources show is that this practice is, it's actually thriving. It's constantly adapting and providing deep meaning, even in our hypermodern, you know, increasingly secular world.
So that's the mission for today's deep dive. We want to redefine what a pilgrimage truly is for you and show that the impulse driving, say, a Christian on the Camino might be the same one driving a fan to Graceland.
Directly.
So let's start with our guide on this journey. Who is Ian Reeder? Why is he the authority we need on this?
Well, Reeder is a distinguished scholar of religious studies.
Mm-hmm.
He has a really deep specialization in Japanese studies, and he's spent decades looking at how religious practice, you know, intersects with contemporary society.
So he's a top voice in pilgrimage studies.
One of the leading voices globally.
Yeah, and what makes his perspective so unique is that he hasn't just read the books. He's actually walked the paths.
That's the key. He's personally undertaken so many of these pilgrimages himself. He's walked the entire 88 Temple Shikoku circuit in Japan.
Wow.
And the Camino de Santiago in Spain.
So he's felt the blisters.
He's felt the blisters. That combination of, you know, rigorous academic framework and this intimate experiential knowledge is just critical.
Hmm.
His analysis is grounded not just in theology, but in the physical reality of the journey. He literally knows the pain in the feet that he writes about.
And crucially, his approach is, it's anthropological, it's sociological, it's a bottom-up view. He seems less concerned with the official doctrine and more focused on the practice, on what people do and how they feel when they're actually walking.
Exactly. He's studying the human behavior around the quest, not just the religious history. He maintains that scholarly objectivity, but that personal experience allows him to deeply respect the transformative dimensions of what people are actually achieving on these paths.
And that focus on human behavior, it leads directly to the core idea of his work, which we're drawing from pilgrimage, a global human phenomenon. Reeder's main argument is, well, it's really powerful.
It is.
Pilgrimage isn't just a religious niche. It's a fundamental human template for creating meaning.
That's the breakthrough. The central thesis is that pilgrimage is a universal human phenomena that just, it completely transcends these strict religious definitions. The traditional view, a journey to a sacred site for purely religious merit, that's just far too narrow for our modern reality.
So if we drop the strict religious requirement, what defining characteristics are left? What makes a journey a pilgrimage as opposed to just, you know, a vacation?
Well, he defines it as a complex social, cultural, and psychological practice. Reeder argues it's a process, and it's a performance defined by three things: movement, intention, and transformation.
Okay.
It reveals these fundamental human needs we all have, our need for meaning, for community, and for connecting to something transcendent. And that transcendence can be spiritual or historical or even cultural.
So the framework itself is what's potent, regardless of the destination's theology.
Absolutely. And that's what allows his book to cover the Islamic Hajj, Hindu sites, and then just seamlessly pivot to places of cultural memory.
The book's ambition, then, is really to challenge that rigid line we draw between the sacred and the secular.
That's it. By showing how the pilgrimage structure adapts to new landscape-like sites of national grief or even fandom, he proves the enduring power of this model for human sense-making.
It's about how humans structure a quest to change themselves.
And this change is structured. I mean, this is so interesting. Reeder grounds this whole idea in the work of the anthropologist Victor Turner, who gave us this clear roadmap for any deep personal change, breaking it into three universal stages.
So it's basically a three-act structure for transformation. The first stage is separation.
Yeah.
You literally leave your normal life. The routine, the job, the social constraints are all temporarily removed.
Then comes the critical middle stage.
Yeah.
Liminality. This is the journey itself, this in-between state.
Yeah, the in-between.
Yeah, you're socially nowhere. You're no longer the person who left home, but you haven't yet returned. You're outside society's normal rules and this vulnerability. That's where the transformation occurs.
And finally, reincorporation. You return home, you integrate the experience and the insight you gained on the journey back into your regular life.
The person who left is separated, the new person returns. And what's fascinating here is that this transformation isn't just a mental shift. It's embodied, it's tied to the difficulty of the journey.
But why does it have to be hard? I mean, can't I just take a spiritually meaningful bus ride? Reader argues that pilgrimage is something that is done with the body, right?
Exactly right. He highlights what he calls the kinesthetic element. The physical act of walking, of suffering, of enduring hardship is the primary vehicle for change.
Uh-huh.
Think about the Shikoku Henro in Japan. It's a 1,000-mile trek. The pain, the exhaustion, the blisters. That physical suffering breaks down the ordinary self. It weakens the ego.
So the struggle isn't an obstacle to the spiritual journey. It's the mechanism for it.
Yes. The performance of enduring that hardship is what unlocks the new perspective.
And I imagine that suffering is also what connects people.
Absolutely. When you're exhausted and you're relying on strangers, you enter this state of communitas, a temporary intense sense of community that transcends social rank, created simply by sharing the path of the struggle.
Okay, so if we look at the modern reality of this, we have to talk about why millions of people are walking the Camino or performing the Hajj today. Reader really deconstructs the idea that piety is the only driver.
Yeah, he shows motivations are this complex web. People seek healing, penance, resolution for a personal crisis. But these blend seamlessly with motivations like cultural identity, adventure, or even just a personal physical challenge.
So a person isn't necessarily deciding, okay, am I going for spiritual merit or for a good hike?
No, not at all.
They are often seeking both at the same time. The experience is what they make it.
Precisely. The meaning is actively created and negotiated by the pilgrim. They're often combining the deep historical significance of the path with their own personal therapeutic needs.
Okay, but if this transformation is so profound, we have to tackle the elephant in the room, the gift shops.
Ah, right.
How does Reader argue that commerce doesn't just corrupt the whole experience?
He's very pragmatic about it. Mm-hmm. He points out that commerce and pilgrimage have been, well, inextricably linked for centuries. You need lodging, food, guides, transportation. This is necessary infrastructure.
So the marketplace and the shrine are actually symbiotic.
They are. Trying to separate them is historically unrealistic.
But what about all the, you know, the trinkets, the fridge magnets?
That's where he introduces this fascinating concept of spiritual materialism. The physical goods, the souvenirs, amulets, certificates, they become tangible proof of the journey.
Ah.
They carry sacred power or memory back home with the pilgrim, allowing them to reincorporate that abstract spiritual experience through a physical object. Commerce transforms the sacred experience, doesn't necessarily destroy it.
This is where Reader truly stretches the definition, showing the flexibility of this model.
Yeah.
Secular pilgrimage. How has this ancient structure expanded to find new destinations in a, you know, post-religious world?
Well, the human impulse remains, even if the destination's power is rooted in shared cultural memory or national identity or fandom rather than theology.
Yeah.
He provides two brilliant case studies.
The Journey to Graceland, Elvis Presley's home.
Yeah. It's analyzed as a form of devotion. A secular quest complete with sacred sites, like the gravesite, and even ritualistic behavior like the candlelight vigil.
And the other one is Gallipoli.
Yes, Gallipoli. For people in Australia and New Zealand, traveling to that battlefield is a commemorative journey. It's driven by national identity and shared grief. It's a solemn act of remembrance, structured exactly like a pilgrimage.
So these secular sites prove that the human need for intentional travel to a place that's charged with significance to process memory, grief, identity, that need is enduring.
It is. The pilgrimage structure is simply the most powerful cultural tool we have for that kind of quest. It provides a robust argument for seeing pilgrimage as one of the most fundamental human activities for making sense of ourselves and our world.
Okay, let's pull back for a moment and summarize the key themes we should walk away with after this deep dive into Reader's work. Theme one, the universality of the pilgrimage impulse.
This is the foundation. The drive for a deeply meaningful, intentionally difficult journey is just. It's part of being human. It transcends all specific religious doctrines and speaks to our basic need for meaning.
And this helps you recognize that same pilgrimage impulse in your own life, whether it's, you know, training relentlessly for a marathon or hiking the Appalachian Trail or even undertaking a difficult degree. It's a human search for meaning, just framed as a journey.
Then there's theme two. The journey is the transformation. It's all about the process over the destination. The real power lies in that liminal space, the physical movement, and that temporary separation from ordinary life.
Applying this means valuing the struggle in your long-term goals. The person you become while you're achieving something, the insights you get in that messy middle, is often more important than the final achievement itself.
And theme three, the paradox of tradition and innovation. Pilgrimage simultaneously preserves these ancient traditions, like the paths of St. James, while continuously adapting to new technologies, modern populations, and contemporary motivations, like the global rise of travel tourism.
That's a really important lesson. Traditions aren't static. They have to evolve to stay relevant and to meet the specific needs of the people walking those paths right now.
Reader's Work is just full of these powerful, synthesized ideas about the practice. Let's maybe share a few core statements that really encapsulate the book's insight.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Okay, first one, and I'm paraphrasing. Pilgrimage is not simply about reaching a destination. It is about the transformation that occurs along the way.
So that shifts success from just, you know, an external completion to an internal change.
Exactly. Success is measured in insight, not in miles.
I like that. What's next?
This next one really challenges assumptions. The sacred is not fixed in stone and mortar, but is created and recreated through the acts of pilgrims themselves.
Wow. So that tells us sacredness is emergent. It comes from human practice and sustained belief, not necessarily from some inherent quality of the place alone.
Precisely. And finally, about the economy. The commodification of pilgrimage does not necessarily destroy its sacred dimensions, but it does transform them. Commerce and faith have always walked the same path.
That feels like a much healthier way to look at why things are commercialized. It acknowledges that the economic reality is necessary, and it can be symbiotic with the spiritual function.
Yeah.
So how can we, the listener, practically apply readers' insights today?
Well, we can start by reframing personal journeys. When you face a major life transition, a job change, a big move, starting a creative project, try to use that three-stage process. Intentionally separate from your old identity, accept the confusion and vulnerability of that liminal middle.
The messy part.
The messy part. And then consciously reincorporate the lessons learned when you finish.
The next application is enriching travel.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a trip, view any cultural or historical travel through the lens of pilgrimage. When you visit a battlefield or an ancestral town or a monument, seek connection and memory and meaning, not just photos. It transforms a quick trip into a genuine journey.
And finally, appreciating the power of the body, finding meaning in movement. Since the body and mind are so connected, try applying the pilgrimage principle to long walks or runs or even cycling. Use this simple act of movement as a tool for intentional reflection and problem solving in a world that encourages us to just sit still.
You know, this deep dive has really opened my eyes to the incredible flexibility of the pilgrimage model, how one framework can contain a spiritual seeker on the 88 Temple Shikoku Trail and a music fan paying homage at Graceland.
It's amazing.
The universal human impulse for intentional meaning is what binds them together, transcending doctrine and geography.
For me, the lasting lesson is the enduring power of the journey itself. The physical hardship isn't some unfortunate obstacle, but the critical mechanism for breaking down the ego and creating change. Reader proves we have this innate need for intentional, reflective quests. And in many ways, those quests are what define us. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.